When I was 10, the only thing I wanted was to be a white cheerleader. Bone straight hair, thin nose, saccharine voice, slender body. When I was 10, I realized that I was black. In some ways, that had nothing to do with actual cheerleading, but rather with what blackness meant, writ large. Learned from the experience of trying to force myself into this pristine, white, and coveted space, which spit me out before I could realize how much I had been abused. I grew up in Atlantic County, New Jersey, just 20 minutes from Atlantic City, depending on how fast you drive down the expressway or Black Horse Pike. There are not many places in Atlantic County you can go where the last name Jerkins is not known. My uncles Rodney and Freddie have achieved incredible success in the music industry, producing hits for artists like Jennifer Lopez and Brandy. Maybe this was why I was generally popular with the Black and Latinx students in my school. Teachers asked if my uncles could pop into the class to supplement their math lessons, and aspiring producers wanted to know how they could get in touch with them. There might have been incidents when I was called ugly or rejected by some guy whom I basically didn't know but was infatuated with nevertheless, but that was all they were. Incidents. Moments. They were not experiences that defined my childhood or me. As a kid, I loved TV. I religiously watched shows like Saved by the Bell and Lizzie McGuire and slept through the weekday nights while The Facts of Life played in the background. And there she was, always, the cheerleader. She wasn't always blonde, but she was always white, skinny, and desirable. She was equally powerful and pure. When I was 10, the only thing I wanted to be was a white cheerleader. Cheerleading tryouts for elementary school were underway, and I knew that this was my chance. If I made the squad, it would be easier for me to make the team again and again from middle through high school. All prospective squad members were mandated to attend nightly sessions in our elementary school's cafeteria in order to learn a dance routine, gain tips on how to impress the judges with our energy and attitude, and practice our jumps. I was one of only four black girls in a room of about 30 white girls. The others were Tanya, a second-generation Jamaican-American, Ruby, whose name matched her beauty, and an Afro-Latina whose name eludes me now. There were no Asians, no Pacific Islanders, no Native Americans. If you blinked, you might not have noticed us four black girls there. The cafeteria was large, and the whiteness was blinding. Although I could not stir up the strength to lift my pudgy body with 34C breast to boot into the air to perfect a pike or tuck, I made up for it with my enthusiasm. I wasn't as popular with my black and brown classmates as I was with the white ones, although I was one of only a few black girls who regularly mingled with them. To this day, I'm not sure if it was due to circumstance or colorism, my light skin often associated with whiteness, my identity regularly mistaken for biracial. Nevertheless, I wanted equal social standing in both spaces. Just to be in the presence of white girls, mainly those who had been cheerleaders for years, those whom all the boys, both white and of color, wanted, I felt privileged. I hoped that if I were adjacent to them, then some of their desirability could lather me like soap suds to the skin, polishing me off until I was just as white as them. I scrutinized how easy it was for them to make their bodies fly through the air, how graceful their movements were. Every gesture seemed like a dance. I might have noticed these talents when they sat beside me in class or brushed past me in the lunchroom line, but these sessions isolated them so I could study them a little bit more closely. Spatial boundaries did not apply to their bodies. They could move anywhere they pleased. Their bodies knew this even if their prepubescent minds didn't. There was no place that they could not go without being acknowledged. Not the playground, not the classroom, not the lunchroom, and most certainly not cheerleading practice. I had only a faint awareness then that being born in white skin, they had been groomed for this kind of dominance.